So today, I'm going to jump right into it. I want to share with us what I've titled, The God of Absolute Possibilities. The God of Absolute Possibilities. It's amazing, you know, from the very start of this service, every prayer, pretty much all the songs, we're talking about possibilities, God being able, and all of that. Amen? So we are in tune. I'm locked in. Hallelujah. I wanted to take a minute right now and, you know, if possible, close your eyes and think about God. Just work with me here. Just take a minute and think about the God you serve. The God that you pray to, the God that you worship. I'm not talking about the one that we are preaching to you about. I'm talking about the one you gave your life to. Just take a minute and think about him. And I want to ask a very important question. How great is the God you serve? How powerful is the God you serve? While you're thinking about that, I want you to also think about all the challenges you're faced with right now. Think about the difficulties, the unanswered prayers, the things you desire God to move. Think about them. And I want to ask, the God that you visualized, is he powerful enough to meet those needs? Is he great enough to answer those prayers? I'm not talking about you bringing those needs before somebody else. I'm talking about the God you are worshiping, the God that you pray to every day, the God you call on. Is he great enough to answer your prayers, or do you need somebody else to step in? The God of absolute possibilities. The God you serve is not inferior to anybody else's. The God you and I worship is not inferior to the greatest minister on the planet. Amen? The God you serve is the same God. And he is the God of absolute possibilities. There are no impossibilities with the God you serve. Recently, I was reading an article a couple of months ago, and somebody came with a countdown of 10 things that are not real. And counting down from 10 all the way to 1, he came to 1 and he said, God is not real. Now, this is going to mess a lot of Christians up if they do not have an experiential relationship with God. If they've never experienced the God of absolute possibilities. If all around you what you see and what you have are just unanswered prayers all around you. There's a tendency for you to believe that this God is not real. Are you with me? And he had his points, his reasons that God is not real. And so it's important that as we walk with God, the very first thing we need to establish for ourselves that we don't need anybody to preach to us about is that, number one, God is real. That God exists. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. You stand no chance to please God without faith. And the Bible now says that for everyone that comes to him must first believe that he exists. In other words, your faith journey begins like this. Number one, you declare that you have faith in this God, your faith must express that you believe, number one, in him, and that you believe that he is a rewarder, that he is faithful. You don't need anybody to preach to you about those two things. If you're struggling with the truth that God exists, or you're struggling with the truth that God is faithful and is a rewarder, you have a problem. Amen? God is faithful. Your faith should be founded, established in these two things. Before we begin to talk about the God of absolute possibilities. Amen. I don't know if it's the weather or or this is coming too hard. I don't know, but we'll flow. Your confidence in God is a function of your trust. Your confidence in God is a function of your knowledge of this God. The more you know God, the more confident in him you are. If you're not confident in God, it means you don't have sufficient knowledge about this God. There's no reason trying to cry about it or complain about it. You just need to update your knowledge. Increase in knowledge about this God, and your confidence will increase. Amen. So let me establish here right now that absolute possibility is a function of absolute trust in God. You want to dwell and function in a realm of absolute possibilities, then function in a realm of absolute trust in God. Let your trust in God not be in question. Let us turn our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. And if you will, please. I missed that all right now. And if you will, please, let me have it in the Message translation from verse 19. The God of absolute possibilities. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19, Message translation. Let's go. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they heard about these people who were embarking on a special project, who had come together to do something. When they heard about it, they laughed and started to mock them. Now, I want you to picture yourself in this situation. Somebody's mocking at you, somebody's laughing at you about what God said to you, about what project you are embarking on about the vision of God concerning your life, because they were not there when God spoke to you. They don't understand what covenant you are functioning in. And because of their limited understanding, because, you know, there are some people who, they feel like, because I'm connected to so-and-so person, you need to go through me to get whatever. You need to get my consent. You need to get my input on a matter before you can move forward. Otherwise, it's rubbish. They never see possibilities with you. And so these people came together and they started to laugh and mock them and said, "Ha, what do you think you're doing? Do you think you can cross the king?" And I love the next verse. This guy didn't even wait a minute to think about or process what they said. He didn't wait, you know, to go home and say, "You know, maybe they are right. You know, what did God say again?" No. He was fully convinced about the word of God to him, fully convinced about the vision he is embarking on. And this man said right here, "The God of heaven." Not my qualifications, not my connections, not the people I know in the natural, not the things that I know in the natural, not my wisdom. "The God of heaven will make sure." The God of heaven will see to it
that we succeed. The God of heaven will make sure that we succeed. It is not a function of what I know. It is not a function of the school that I went to. These guys are not builders naturally, but they wanted to make something happen. And the only qualification and the only backing they had was the God of heaven. Where does your confidence lie? What is the thing that is giving you that boost to think that it is possible or anything is possible in your life? Is it the wisdom you have? Is it your experience? You know, in Nigeria, a job opportunity came out and it said, I think it's with the oil company, and it said the person has to be about 25 years old and must have 10 years working experience in a relevant field. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where you need the God of... Oh my goodness. Signs and wonders. So this person needs to be like 15 years old, have been working for 15 years old in the oil company to be able to work and get this job. That's very silly. And this guy shot back at them and said, the God of heaven will see to it that we succeed. Regardless the opposition that we face, regardless what we are seeing right now or what is being orchestrated behind the scenes, he will see to it. We are not bothered about the opposition right now. We have God on our side. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, we are his servants. How many of you are the children of God here? You declare that you are the covenant child of God. Let me see your hands right up. And we are going to work. You are unstoppable, amen? You are going to work rebuilding. You can keep your nose out of it. You get no say in this. Listen, not everybody should have an input in what God has in plan for you. You know, somebody said, you don't share your dream with people. You show them the dream. Let them see the manifestation. Amen? He said, you have no say in this. You have no right to make it. I didn't invite you to make any input here. Take your wisdom and go that way. Amen? Say, keep your nose out of it. You get no saying this. Jerusalem, my vision, my purpose, my job, my career is none of your business. You know, in Africa, for you to know that two people are quarreling, especially women, forgive me, you will notice that when you come around, maybe in the morning or later in the day, and you see a woman just singing, good praise and worship, and you're singing songs like, you know, the devil is defeated, you cannot stop me, I will keep shining. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody inside the house is about to start another song of praise. Declaring, Satan, shame on you. And you think that they're actually worshiping God. No. Full-blown quarrel is going on right there. Amen? So we start our quarrels with praise and worship. Amen? So we started from that level until we go into the physical combat. Hallelujah. But let me say here right now that sometimes when people poke their nose into your business, you need to break out in a song for them if you don't have any words. You just think, mind your business. Mind your business.
Listen, people need to be shut down because the words that people speak, it doesn't just end there. If you just keep quiet, it's going to go along with you and you're going to meditate on those words. But you need to shut it down. You need to close that gate. Hallelujah. Just tell them, mind your business. Who called you into this? Your wisdom is not relevant here. Glory to God. Let me look foolish. Let me look stupid doing what the Lord has called me to do. But until I invite you here, mind your business. Hallelujah. The word success there means to fulfill purpose. To fulfill purpose. So the Lord will see to it that I fulfill purpose. Whatever his purpose for my life is, I will fulfill it. So listen, after you are done going for all of those conferences, receiving 7 steps, 10 keys, listen, it is the Lord that will see to it that you fulfill purpose. Because all of those keys you are receiving, as great as it is only subject to circumstances remaining the same. When there is a change in the economy, a change in certain dynamics, those keys don't work anymore. If you think I'm lying, ask those who are in war-torn zones. They're not operating any key. They are trying to survive. Amen? But the Lord himself will see to it that you fulfill purpose. The word also means to accomplish a set task. So whatever your mind is set on to accomplish, the Lord will see to it that it is done. So do not focus on your strengths, as great as they are. As long as the Lord, listen, where did Noah go to learn how to build an ark? Where? What training did he get? But he did it. Amen? The God that reigned in the time of Noah is still the same God today. He is the God of absolute possibilities. Hallelujah. We think about the four lepers. The four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7. There was a famine in the land. So bad that mothers were cooking their children. So the main quarrel was, this first woman went to the king and told him, I reached an agreement with my neighbor that let me cook my child today. And we eat that child, and then tomorrow you cook yours. The hardship in the land was so bad. You know, there's a level of hardship that hits, you know, people that you lose your mind. That the things that are considered to be immoral and not normal, you don't see a problem with anymore. Because all you want to do is survive. And this woman cooked her child, and these people had a feast on that child. And the next day, the other woman was like, listen, we cannot kill this boy. Forget this. Let's just keep munching on the bones from your child, you know, and hope that God will bring about restoration, but we are not killing my child. And the king was angry, and he called upon Elijah. And now you have four lepers sitting at the gate. A bunch of people who were ostracized, a bunch of people who society could not relate with. Even if they had a solution to the problem of the nation, nobody's going to consult them. And they said, you know, we are sitting down here. People are dying in Israel. If we go back into the city,
we will surely die. Because nobody's going to boil their child and give to lepers. That's for sure. And nobody is going to kill a leper and eat. But they will surely die of hunger. But if we go forward, amen, knowing that the God of all possibilities is with us, that maybe these people might save us alive. But if they don't save us alive, at least the outcome wouldn't be anything strange from being here. We will die. And meanwhile, you have the king in the city. You have all the army in the city. They couldn't do anything. And these four lepers, as incompetent as they were marching and walking down to the camp of the enemy. All they wanted was a miracle. All they wanted was, Lord, just come through for us this one time. I don't know if anybody's here who just needs God to come through one more time. Amen? And they were walking down there, not knowing what to expect. But they knew if indeed we serve the God of absolute possibilities, surely the outcome will be favorable to us. And the Lord went ahead to amplify their footsteps. The Lord is going to amplify your voice in places that matter in the name of Jesus. The Lord will go ahead of you to amplify your footsteps. He will cause people to speak for you in places that matter in the name of Jesus. They were marching down there, lepers. And the Lord went ahead to amplify the steps of four men. And he made the enemy to hear an army coming. That does not make any natural sense to anybody. But that is what the God of absolute possibilities can do. You see, you need to stop limiting God in your mind. You need to stop restricting him to the rules and regulations that apply here on earth. Amen. And they marched down to that camp and they saw the place empty. They walked into a tent, saw food. These guys settled down first to settle themselves. Amen. They ate to their full, gathered enough gold, gathered enough silver, gathered raiment, and went to hide it first of all for themselves because they know that these crazy people from Israel are coming. And when they show up, they will not let them have a portion. So the Lord will give you the opportunity to have first take. Amen. Regardless who is in authority, regardless who thinks they know better or they are qualified, the Lord will qualify you ahead of others. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know if you are as excited as I am about this message. But the Lord, the God of absolute possibilities, will see to it that you succeed. He will amplify your steps. He will amplify your voice. There is no stopping you in this season. In the name of Jesus. The places where you were rejected before, people will begin to announce you. Let me share a testimony with you. We got down to Nigeria, and a day or two afterwards, I can't remember, my elder brother sat us down and told us one of the toughest news ever. Now, I thought I was in a difficult situation. And then he sat us down and told us that my elder sister, who's living in the UK, was found to have leukemia. Yes. Cancer of the blood. And she didn't just have leukemia. She also had TB. She didn't just have TB
and leukemia. She had sepsis. So these three deadly diseases were living in her body. And she was in the hospital, and the doctors didn't know how to start. What do we start to treat? If you start treating leukemia, TB might kill her, or sepsis will. What do you start with? You definitely cannot start treating everything. And one of the first phone calls I received was from my youngest sister, and she was crying. I mean, you could tell that she had lost hope. That what is going on here? Everything is falling apart. How could the Lord let this happen? And, of course, in the season where I was, I couldn't process that information. I couldn't let that whole thing sit. Because I decided that God will be God all by himself. And to the glory of God, every single person in the family decided, listen, this will end in praise. What you say in the midst of crisis is very important. And the testimony is that these people didn't know what to do. They consulted doctors here in the U.S. The doctors in the U.S. consulted those in Asia. And they were carrying out research, trying to figure out what kind of thing is this and how do we approach it. Ladies and gentlemen, while they were consulting, the Lord was working. This woman was praising God every day, was praying every day. Listen, in a country where they don't allow you to, you know, evangelize and do anything publicly, you can't stop somebody who is seeing the end from praising God publicly. What do you want to do? Kill them? And she was praising and thanking God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord started to work and started to heal her. And the doctors were now playing catch up. They saw her recovering very fast. They saw things changing. And then they stepped up. It's okay. I think we might want to start doing something and act like we know. Amen? And within the space of 1 year, just 1 year, every single thing was cleared from her system. And the doctors cannot say that they did anything. So in case you're thinking, I've been diagnosed with this, that, oh, well, let me sign out. Listen, the God of absolute possibilities can make it happen. Amen? He can turn it around. My mother was in an accident last year. Coming back from a conference, this car flipped and landed on the other side of the road. The woman who had arthritis on her leg, she stepped out of the car. No scratch. No hurt. And the people who were standing around were looking at her and looking at the car. Looking at her, looking at the car. I'm like, you came out of this? If you continue to try to figure it out, if you continue to look at what is possible in the natural, you will never experience what is possible with God. The Lord does not need your CV to do what he needs to do in your life. The Lord does not need your accumulated experience to move in your life. Hallelujah. A young man who just came out of the high school, you call it here, came out of high school, did a little bit of French tutorial and computer science, walked into, was it Kenya Airways office, going to see somebody, I don't know. And he heard the country manager of this company, of this Kenya Airways,
you know, having difficulty communicating with this lady who was speaking French. And the young man stepped up and helped to deal with the situation. And right there and then, he was employed to work in Kenya Airways. 3-4 years later, he became the country director. 5-6 years later, he became the regional head, Europe and North America. The God of absolute possibilities. What qualifications did he have? See, you know, a lot of times, because of where we live, we tend to see things in a certain way. We've developed this tunnel vision. So it has to be like this. Listen, I don't need your testimony to be a reference for me. What reference did Abraham have? What reference did Moses have before he parted the Red Sea? He trusted God. Amen? When you keep looking for somebody you can hang, and it's great, it's good to give you that little boost that it's possible. But listen, God is not limited to what he did before. You need to stop praying, Lord, what you did for them, do for me. No. Do what you have determined to do in my life. You need that unique testimony. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 40, from verse 27. And let's still have it in the message, please. The Bible says, why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. That is a song a lot of believers sing today. When we experience a little delay in our lives, when we experience, you know, the walk through the valley of shadow of death is a little longer than usual, we wonder, Lord, maybe you are busy with some other people. And you know, one thing that struck me, I heard in my spirit just before we were coming back here. I said, you know, believers typically, the way we pray, we actually sound like the disciples when they were in the boat and Jesus was sleeping. We act as though God was sleeping and the devil showed up and, you know, God wasn't aware and he did what he did. So that accident that happened, God was sleeping when it happened. You lost your job, God wasn't aware. And so you show up in prayer points, everything, and you are bombarding heaven. Lord, arise. Lord, show up. Where are you, my God? You know, there was this guy that was praying behind the house where I was living in Nigeria. Every night screaming and, you know, pastor's voice, you know, those kind of African pastor's voice. The guy was praying, husky voice, every night, wouldn't let me sleep or work. And this guy was praying, and one night, you know, I just heard the guy scream, where is my God? I said, listen, if you're still looking for your God till now, you might just go and sleep, please. What is your problem? And you're bombarding heaven every day, crying out to God, Lord, show up, do this, do that, like he wasn't aware. Like he didn't know it happened. The Bible says he orders the steps of the righteous. So if you found yourself in it, it means he's aware. And so your prayer needs to change from, Lord, where are you? Why would you let this happen? Rather, you need to seek him. Lord, what wisdom do I need here right now? Lord, be God all by yourself in this situation. Because my wisdom didn't keep me away from this. my strength didn't keep me away from this. My connections didn't keep me away from this. Now it is here, Lord, you will be glorified here. Amen. And no matter how long it takes for me to come out of this, I will be sustained by you. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are catching this. We were in Nigeria, and I could almost count how many times we lit the stove in the kitchen to cook. The Lord raised people every week, twice a week, randomly, to provide. Because the money you take to the store, you actually pay a fortune to eat in the city we were living. And I was not ready to do that. But the Lord raised people. And I've declared here before, talking about God being your shepherd, that just because you have it doesn't mean you have to spend it. He has given it to you. Use it to fulfill your vision. Let the Lord raise people to meet every need in your life. Amen. They were complaining. Lord, you've forgotten us. Lord, you've abandoned us. Why is this happening to me? Why me, Lord? Where is my God? But the Bible says in verse 31, those who wait. That word wait means trust. It's not just sitting down and watching. It means actively trusting God. Those who wait upon God, number one, they get fresh strength. Amen? You receive fresh strength. In the midst of the crisis, you are not shaken. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and they don't lag behind. Listen, something struck me recently. Just because you are going through crisis doesn't mean you need to suffer. Just because you are going through crisis doesn't mean that the blessing of God ceases to operate in your life. Think about it. Bible says you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It is yours already. So if I'm going through a dark time, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I am going through crisis. The God of absolute possibilities is still my God. Certain seasons may last long because by design, that is the way it ought to be. But it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that God remains a God of absolute possibilities. Because while you are going through, the Lord is there with you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, as I begin to wrap up. We are doing well with time, right? Isaiah chapter 41 from verse 8. The Bible says, but you, Israel, you can put your name in there. You are my servant. You're Jacob, my first choice. God chose me first. Descendants of my good friend Abraham, I pulled you in from all over the world. Called you in from every dark corner of the earth. Telling you this, you are my covenant children. You are my child. Serving on my side. What qualified you to serve on the side of God? What qualified you? Where you were born? The church you attend? The Lord says, I've picked you. So it doesn't matter how anybody feels or what they think. He chose me, he picked me. I don't know about you. Maybe he didn't pick you, but he picked me. So I don't know what you are getting angry about. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, I haven't dropped you. So all these things we're complaining about, the Lord has forgotten me, the Lord has forsaken me, he's not listening to me. I haven't dropped you. I am still God. And he says right there, don't panic. Somebody say, don't panic. Say it again, don't panic. Why? I'm with you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear. Why? I am God. So I ask again, how big is your God? When your God tells you, don't panic, for I'm with you, do you still panic? When he says, do not be afraid, because I am God, are you still fearful? I heard a story about a man who was hanging off a cliff. Don't know what he was doing, but he was about to drop from this cliff. His hands were getting weak over time, and he was crying out for help. Somebody help me. God help me. God, please help me. And he heard the voice of God. And God said to him, my son, do you believe me? He said, yes, I believe you, Lord. Save me. So, okay, I want you to let go. And the young man said, Lord, what did you say? And the Lord said, let go. And the young man said, please, anybody else, help me. Just say. After a while, when his hands were too weak, he lost his grip. And the young man dropped. And it was only like 3 feet off the ground he was hanging. And so he expressed lack of trust in God, even in the smallest thing. Amen. Don't panic. I'm with you. It's terrifying. Don't panic. How are we going to make it? Nobody has made it through this before. Don't panic. I am with you. And he says, I will give you strength. That is a promise of God. He will give you the strength you need. Number two, I will help you. The help you need. I will help you. Somebody say, Lord, help me. Say it again, Lord, help me. You've been trying for years. You've been doing it your way for so long. It's so frustrating. You try your way, you use your wisdom, you use people, you go through whatever channels, it's not working. The job you're doing, you feel like you're stuck. You're doing it because you need to pay bills. Somebody say, Lord, help me. The Bible says, I will hold you steady. Everything is shaking around you. Nothing is certain around you. Oh, wow. Nothing is certain around you. He said, I will hold you steady. He will keep a firm grip on you. The enemy is going crazy around you. I will hold you. Everything is looking impossible. I'm holding you. Do not panic. Don't be afraid. He says, count on it. Everyone who had it in for you will end up out in the cold, real losers. When the glory of God is revealed in your life, listen, it doesn't only just shine on you, it shines also on the enemy, because it's going to reveal them as real losers. Amen. So those who were laughing, amen, those who were mocking are about to be revealed by the light of God that is shining through you. Hallelujah. The Bible says, those who worked against you will end up empty-handed. This is God speaking. I don't have to pray an extra prayer point for this. Amen? When the Lord is working in your life, when you give it all to him, and he begins to manifest in your life, every person that stands against you stands against God. So you will be well advised to stay clear. I don't need to pray and come against my enemies. Fall down and die. All of that. No. Just watch God do it in my life. Because the season that we have stepped into is a season where the power of God will be revealed. And every person who thinks that they are wiser than God will be confounded. So be careful who you feel sorry for in this season. The Bible says they will end up empty-handed, nothing to show for their lives. When you go out looking for your old adversaries, you go out looking for that person who was working against the purpose of God in your life. You go out looking for those people who were mocking at you. He says you won't find them. Not a trace of your old enemies. Not even a memory. That's right. Because I, your God, have a firm grip on you. And I'm not letting go. Listen, you want to break free. God is saying, I'm not letting you go. I'm holding you. I'm holding you. You're afraid. The walls are closing in. God is saying, I'm holding you and I'm not letting go. The Bible says, I'm telling you once again, don't panic. I'm right here to do what? Help you. Can we just stop being too strong for God? Can we just stop being too spiritual for God? Can we just be vulnerable to our God? Just let him be God. Believers are too wise for God. Sometimes God speaks and you begin to bind the Lord. I reject that word in Jesus' name. God is speaking to you, you are rejecting it. What is wrong with you? Why? Because it doesn't fit into the mold that we are used to. It doesn't fit in. Imagine Jesus is walking on the earth today and he spits on the ground and makes a clay and rubs it on somebody. The laws are going to be changed in the land because of that single act. We limit God. Do you feel like a lowly worm? Don't be afraid. You're feeling incompetent. You're feeling you don't have the wisdom. You're feeling you're not strong enough. Don't be afraid. I'm not qualified for that job. Don't be afraid. I don't know anyone. Don't be afraid. You're feeling fragile like an insect. The Bible says, I will help you. Somebody say, Lord, help me. I will help you. When you look through everything we have seen so far, nobody was qualified. Nobody was strong enough. Not one of them had any natural backing. The God of absolute possibilities showed up and they trusted him absolutely. And they let him be God all by himself in their lives. If we can pull back for a minute, we will see him show up in our lives. It doesn't matter what you have right now in your account. It doesn't matter what you know already. It doesn't matter what your plans are. It doesn't matter what somebody has prophesied about you before. The God of absolute possibilities can turn things around overnight. Elisha prophesied to that nation that was in famine, and within 24 hours, everything changed. There was abundance. It doesn't matter how long you've been in that situation. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks right now. It is only impossible because you lack trust in God. When you begin to trust God, you have absolute confidence in him. You trust his timing. You trust his power. You trust his wisdom. Hallelujah. How many of us believe the God of absolute possibilities? How many of us are willing to let him work in our lives? How many of us will stop reasoning his word? Analyzing his process and just let him be God. I want us to rise up on our feet this morning or this afternoon. The Lord will help us. He will make sure that we succeed. Your dream is possible. Your vision is possible. That desire you have is possible. It doesn't matter how many times they've told you no, it is possible. Your vision is possible. God is your refuge. God's plan concerning you has not changed. God's promise to us has not changed. God never changes. And he is declaring to us today that it is possible. So do not panic. Do not be afraid. I want you to just lift up your hands and respond to that word this morning.